Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call KTBAR. Okay, nothing heard. Very good. Welcome, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. This net is conducted weekly on a frequency of 146.955 MHz, the 2-meter repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club located in Alpine, New Jersey. To access the repeater, you'll need a 141.3 PL, and then, of course, you'll need the minus 600 offset. So keep that in mind. You can also access the net via Echolink at K2 Foxtrot Juliet-L. That's where our Echolink is. We'll have a separate check-in for stations via Echolink. So stations checking in via Echolink, please stand by when we go through the roll. Okay, so this net is really a little different than most. It's a conversation. It's about a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, electricity, computers, telecommunications, how we pursue the hobby, things we've done, things we'd like to do, things we never want to do again. That's always entertaining. And similar activities. So pretty much we can talk about anything you like, even including the geography, geology, the space weather component. I mean, all that good stuff. Feel free to bring it up and relate it in some vague way to the technology and of our hobby and the experiences and the friendship and fellowship of the hobby. That's all good. We'll check in with in an orderly way, and we do this by call sign group. So the first stations we'll check in tonight are the Whiskies. Anybody with a Whiskey call sign, please call K2BAR with your call sign and your name and indicate whether you have a question, a comment, for sale or swap or wanted item, some combination of those things, or none of the above. And yes, we do want you to check in even if it's a none of the above, because we can often leverage our conversation by knowing you're there, and that adds life and relevance to the way we approach a topic, or even to the fact that we even have a topic. So, with that, no further ado, the Whiskey Stations, please go first. K2BAR.
This is WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River, New York. Good evening, Gordon, and I have a comment this evening.
Evening, Jim. Welcome aboard with your comment. Any other Whiskeys?
WI2LYT, Bill in Riverville. Just lurking.
Good evening, Bill. Any other Whiskeys?
WI2W with a comment / question.
Okay. Steve, good evening to you. WITW, KTBAR. Any other Whiskeys?
WB2JCC, Maddie, Croton on Hudson, and just listening and enjoying the conversation.
Maddie, I didn't get your prefix again.
T-Bravo 2, Juliet Charlie Charlie.
You're very good, Maddie. Welcome aboard. Alrighty, and the other Whiskeys? I'm just catching up on my logging here. Alrighty, let's go to the Kilo 2s.
There is K2EIR, Howie in Tarrytown. One comment, and a very good evening to everyone on the net.
Evening, Howie. Welcome aboard. Any other Kilo 2s?
Here's Kilo 2 Alpha Mike India, K2AMI Tony. No comments, no questions.
Very good, Tony. All right, any other Kilo 2s? Let's get all other Kilos.
Dave, none of the above.
Okay, doubled with you, Dave, but I got the none of the above. Welcome aboard. All right, Any other kilos?
Kilo Charlie 2, Oscar Romeo X-ray. Just one question for you. You going to be down in Fairlawn tomorrow night, Gordon?
No, and I'll explain why in a minute. Like I said, thanks, Rob. Any other kilos? I think that might be KD2DWS, but I'm not sure if that's VMAR or not. VMAR, is that you?
Oh, I'm just echoing, groupie, echoing.
Okay, very good. I'll check you in. Will you have, since you're here, will you have any questions or comments or any for sale or stock or wanted items? Okay, very, very good, VMAR. Alrighty, any other kilos? Okay, how about Novembers?
November 2, Mike, Victor, Victor.
November 2, Mike, Victor, Victor. What's your name and pleasure, sir?
Yes, good evening. My name is Eric, Echo Romeo India Charlie, and I'm in the Riverdale section of the Bronx. No comment.
Okay, Eric, I think it's the first time you've joined us. Welcome aboard. You'll enjoy the net, I'm sure. Any other Novembers?
Yes, November 2, Delta X-ray, X-ray. His name is Jeff. I'm here in Ford's, New Jersey. I have nothing to add, and actually I'd like to request to secure.
You may, if you don't have anything to add. Welcome aboard and enjoy the net tonight. Any other Novembers? All right, how about Alpha Stations?
Alpha Charlie 2 Tango. Name is Paul, Yonkers, New York. I'll just be listening and make a comment if I hear something.
Very good, Paul. Welcome aboard. Any other alphas? Okay, very good. Before we go to Echolink, are there any other stations on the repeater one more time?
Ski Uniform 2 Sierra.
Okay, Randy, what's your pleasure?
Thanks. Just one comment later when you get a chance. Randy in Washington Township, back to net.
Roger that. Got some interesting progress this week, despite ourselves. And, all right, any other whiskeys?
KD2DDK, listening.
I'm sorry, Gary, yeah, very good. Yeah, I should have just said any other call signs before we go to Echolink. Very good. Welcome aboard, Gary. Anybody else on the repeater?
KO2OK, Bennett, just listening.
Evening, Bennett. Welcome aboard. Anybody else? All right. Let's go to KD2DWS on the Echolink. VMAR, what's your pleasure for tonight? Would you have any for sale or swap or comments or questions that you're going to be posting later?
No, thank you so much, Mr. Gordon. So just no comments, no comments. Just listening.
Okay, very good. Any other stations on that Echolink? Alrighty, then let's get to the matter at hand. Our first comment is Jim. WA2UMP, go right ahead, sir. Q2BAR.
Yeah, good evening, Gordon. Just wanted to make an announcement that if you're into D-Star or thinking about getting into D-Star, K2DIG, K2DIG on the Empire State Building is now operating again, and it's on 440, has quite a range. Before K2DIG came back online, I had a bit of trouble hitting WECA in Valhalla reliably, but I can hit K2DIG with just a quarter of a watt. So just wanted to bring everyone's attention to that resource is once again available and has quite a range.
Yeah, that's super. That's a long since overdue recovery, so that's great. That's great. Good to hear it. Anybody have any Follow-on comments for Jim?
BU2S with a question for Jim.
Go right ahead.
Jim, so using K2, K2DIG, the D-Star repeater, is the operating procedure for the D-Star repeater the same as any other 2-meter or 70-centimeter repeater, or are there any other, or are there special procedures that need to be kept in mind when accessing D-Star? Thank you.
Okay, well, no, not really. It's pretty much the same. You have the advantage that on the screen of your transceiver, you can see information scroll in, and you can see the person's call sign. You have to be able to program your transceiver to have the information about the repeater loaded in, so that's an extra step. But it's basically the same. You have the advantage that the short haul is with RF and the long haul over the Internet, so it does, increase your range quite a bit and the spread. Back to you.
Super, Jim. Thanks for the response. WU2S, back to net.
Very good. That's a good question. Are there any other stations who want to follow up on this topic? Okay, very good. So let me just point out that, one of the other things that would be just abundantly wonderful in the future is when the backhauls can be full duplex and or really, really fast, like mesh nodes and things like that to really rock their world. And when it happens, I think that'll add another level of robustness to the game. What you may need in the back end is transparent pipes where they either go up on the wired internet or on the amateur radio ham net on the backhaul. I think that would be a really cool thing in the future. We'll get to that in due time. But in the meantime, it's just a wonderful, exciting, interesting way of doing business. And there's also some embedded texting, which is similar to Echolink, but they actually have some other features about it that's even better. It's even got a thing called DPRS, where you can embed your GPS data from your handheld into your transmissions. It's pretty neat, to say the least. Anyway. Let's see. I guess that's it for the moment. Anybody else before we switch subjects? Before we go on to the next question, just want to make a quick announcement. Many of you have expressed condolences and prayers and thoughts for my mother, who passed away on Monday evening after a bit of an illness. I just want to thank you all for those expressions of support and love and thoughtful prayer, etc. It's really been appreciated, and we are going to bury her tomorrow. The whole family's getting together, and it's a beautiful thing. So anyway, I just wanted to thank everybody for their thoughts on that. Anyway, moving right along, let's see, our next question /comment is WITW. Mr. Steve, what's in your bag of tricks, K2BAR?
K2BAR, WITW. Well, I just had an interesting ham radio experience yesterday. A couple days ago, I worked a fellow on CW, WSC9P, and we had a nice little chat. He lives out in Illinois, and nothing remarkable about that, except that yesterday, around dinner time, I got a telephone call with a greeting from Bill, and he sent his greeting through the national traffic system. So that was the first, and it was relayed by a station in South Jersey, and he called me up on the phone. And I found that interesting, and in all the years I've been a ham, that's the first time I've ever received an NTS message. So I was just a little surprised, caught me off guard. So I sent him a message back via the fellow that called me. And I just wonder if anybody else has had any experience with NTS on the net. And I was actually quite surprised. I suppose in times of emergency, having a net in place like that would come in handy. And that's it. K2BAR, WI2W.
Certainly would. Just as a background, the National Traffic System is a hierarchical network of nets, although there are some shortcuts, liaisons, if you will, that bypass the hierarchy just for efficiency purposes. There's section nets and other local nets. Following the interferal section, sometimes there's pieces of sections. The sections are large. They're on HF, they're on VHF, they're on UHF. There are even packet nodes that handle stuff. And then, of course, there are, regional nets, and then they're area nets. Regions are generally broken down by call district, but not always. And then the area nets, there's eastern, central, and west, and in theory, traffic would flow up and down that hierarchy across the country. There are also international nets where international messages are allowed, etc. And it's all done under the auspices of the ARRL. So it's kind of nice that they did that. I've had that happen to me, too. In fact, a lot of hams get greeted, at least in this area, get new ham greetings via an NTS message, which, and I remember getting not one, but two of those. But I think I got one every time I upgraded or changed my call, too. For some reason, I would get a message. Somebody, you know, would do that. And they do that to generate traffic, too. They need content, and so why not track the upgrade list, et cetera? Well, anyway, anybody have any comments about NTS?
K2EIR.
All right, we had two stations in there. Howie, I got you. Who's the other station?
C2T.
Go ahead, Paul, and then Howie.
Brian Gordon. I get him every once in a while, too, from I don't know from who, but I do get a phone call every once in a while congratulating me on the amount of the e-sessions that I've done. Back to you.
Well, that's just lovely and appropriate for a job well done. Howie?
Here is K2EIR. Hope I don't get too lengthy here, but to be nostalgic, back in the period of 1965 to 1969, I was the net control for the 2-meter Bronx AREC, Amateur Radio Emergency Corps net, and we used to practice traffic handling, and one of the things that helped liven it up is we had a fellow check in from the with our link to the NTS, Hank, and I can't remember his call. I wish I could. I think it was W2EW or something like that. And he was an old-timer then. I don't expect he's around. we had other stations. Paul here will remember Paul WB2BUK. He used to live in what was then known as North Tarrytown. And he used to go on the post office net about 5 p.m. every day. So we had a lot of links that we could do this with. And I just want to say that it doesn't take that much to learn message handling. I don't know how many people here have done it or have done it with RACES or AREC, but a quick outline of maybe the key things is that there is a header, which would have your call letter in it, and would have something called a check. That's the number of word groups in the message, and you want to, it's one way of verifying that you had it right. And let me just let this drop for a moment. And the other thing we used to do on the net is to sort of have And the other key thing about handling traffic is learning, if you're doing it on voice, is learning a few key phrases like, I say again, I fell, read back. And really, a very limited set will cover everything, and it becomes common, just like the phonetic alphabet. Everybody knows what's being said, even under weak signal conditions, because it's familiar. And we used to enjoy sort of these almost trick messages, you know, to see how sharp people were. For example, you might say here, hair, and here. And, you know, here I spell Hotel Echo Romeo Echo. Hair I spell Hotel Alpha India Romeo, et cetera, et cetera. And it could be a lot of fun. We tried to make it fun when we did it. But I haven't handled any traffic pretty much in the last 40 years, you know, since then. But I just thought I'd share that. W2TTT from K2EIR.
T2T.
Go ahead, Paul.
WECA runs the net, the traffic net, every night at 9:30. So there's one coming up now. If anybody's interested, they can go up and listen to it. Anyway, that's where I get my calls from. Anyway, back to net now. Be standing by listening. C2T.
Well, very good. Any other? By the way, there's also NJVN. It's NJVN late, I should say. It's on 140649, the 1 meg split repeater with a 107.2 PL in Oakland, New Jersey. That's also around. So you can also listen there. Anything else on the NTS? Okay, very good. Let's see. Our next topic is from K2EIR, Mr. Howie.
Hey, long time no speak. Okay, let me express my condolences, Gordon. The comment I wanted to make was that if this net runs short tonight, I volunteer again to give a little brief discussion about my hands-free setup. And what has motivated me on that is that I have had a contact on this repeater of a fellow asking, again, the kind of the basic questions of particularly, you know, will that work on any rig? And the general answer is yes. So I know there may be people who want to go over it. I think almost anyone here can figure out a way, the way I do it or to do it themselves. But I'd be happy to, again, give an outline and tell you my feedback about why I find that people don't do it themselves, haven't done it themselves yet, you know, type of thing. W2TTT from K2EIR.
Say, Howie, yeah, we'll probably have time for that tonight. So brace yourself for that. Get yourself drained out and get yourself a tall drink and be ready to get to that. We'll probably get to that shortly. Very good. That's wonderful. Alrighty. KC2ORX, you had a question, Mr. Robert. Over to you, K2BAR.
K2BAR from KC2ORX. Gordon, the question is for you. I have some items for you. If you're not going to be down in Fairlawn tomorrow night, either Sunday at the Barrow meeting, or I could drop more of your house over the weekend. What would you prefer?
Yeah, probably sometime on Saturday would be best. The Barrow meeting is Sunday, correct?
Affirmative.
I might get to the Barrow meeting as well, but I'll know better by tomorrow night, Saturday morning, so I'll give you a call on the phone, okay?
All right, you got my cell. Give me a call and we'll arrange it that way. If I don't catch you tomorrow night or Sunday, I'll catch up with you on Saturday sometime. But I got a couple of items for you.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. Alrighty. Let's see. N2EIR. K2EIR. So we got the Howie. Okay. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra. Again, thank you for your expressions of of happiness and sympathy, condolences, etc. Mr. Smith, over to you, KTBAR.
Okay, thanks, Gordon. Good evening, everybody on the net. This is Randy, WU2S. Just a follow-up. I know I've been on hiatus here for almost 2 months. And apologize for not being around. My wife's been kind of ill, but she's on the mend now. So I've finally gotten around back to the project I put on hold that I'd mentioned in the past, which is an automatic sealed lead acid battery charger. And for those of you who are interested in this, there is an article that's available from QST from May 2001, written by Bob Lewis, Alpha Alpha 4 Papa Bravo. It's a great article, and it's a great construction project. And so I've started working on that. Let me let it drop here for a moment. So I've taken it up again. I think many of you know I like construction projects, and I encourage everyone around to give it a shot. The reason I like this in particular is that unlike a fully formed kit, with this project, all of the parts are readily available, including a circuit board that's available from Far Circuits out in Dundee, Illinois. But the particularly interesting thing about this project is while it's simple and easy to put together, and it's a very simple circuit from which you can learn a lot, there are interesting little challenges in laying the project out and determining how you're going to fit things together and get them in the case, unlike a fully formed kit, like a Heath kit type project where you're just stuffing parts onto a board and everything's pretty laid out for you simply. So if you're interested in those kind of things and looking for a place to start that ends up with a tool that's practical and useful, I'd heartily recommend taking a look at this sealed lead acid battery charger project, again from QST. And it's a great place to start. It's not cheap, it's not inexpensive, but it's certainly doable, and when you end up, you've learned an awful lot, had a good deal of fun, solved some simple problems, and you've got a practical tool at the end of it. So I just wanted to mention that again, and I don't know, Gordon, if you're going to mention the ubiquity broadband hamnet stuff that's in progress, but I've been playing around with some of the precursors to that again, and this is WU2S back to K2BAR in the net control.
Yeah, I'll just add to that latter piece that the Ubiquities set up the 16 dB version of the small air grid. Rick bought one and he received it today. I received a 20 dB one the other day, on Tuesday, and they sent the wrong bracket, and I had a rather annoying interchange with the vendor, because I called them up and explained the situation. They said, no problem. I got an email immediately telling me, we will send you this immediately. That's all I said, and oh, by the way, here is the shipping label for the to return the bracket that was incorrectly boxed. So I wait a day and I say, okay, where is the tracking number for the box, the new bracket? And they said, oh, well, we're waiting to receive back or at least see in the system our tracking number for what we sent you before we ship it. I said, well, A, that's not what your email said. B, you embarrassed me in front of my client, in this case, a group of scouts and their parents, which did not make me happy. So I had the boys assemble it, and they were all excited. They did a great job. And I got very frustrated when this bracket was just plain wrong. I mean, it was just,
dimensionally so out of whack. It's apparently for an older version of the unit, and they just misshipped it. But their email was very clear that said they were going to send the right one immediately, and they, without conditions. And so I was a little annoyed. So I waited. I told them yesterday they needed to fix that. And I called them again today, and I said they need to fix that. And I emphasized that I'm about to go online and state my vendor opinion. And you know, for $80, I want satisfaction. Well, the upshot is that I sent them two emails and put it in writing that I would be using their box to, and that they should plan on shipping that immediately. And oh, by the way, since the return of the missent thing was on a one-day shipping basis, I expect the replacement to be there shipped the same way. It's not good when they want their stuff back in a day, but they don't ship in a day. Long story short is that they were really put off, and I put up with no nonsense, and with the two emails emphasizing my point, they sent me a note saying, here is the tracking number for your ship device, and we tried to make it good, blah, blah, blah. They tried to make nice, but they realized that they had conflicts in there in the way they had communicated, to say the least. Anyway, it is what it is, and I will be able to put it together shortly. So, Randy, why don't you talk about the Ubiquity project in general and where we are and where we're going.
Okay, thanks, Gordon. This is Randy, WU2S. The topic is generally the broadband hamnet, which you can look up, and it started by using old, out-of-date Linksys routers, and a group of folks down in Texas, I believe, and assisted by folks in San Diego, writing code for old routers and being able to create a self-recognizing mesh network on the Wi-Fi frequencies, which fortunately the lower portion of which are also an allocation for amateur radio operators, so we can operate higher power and different antennas and that sort of thing on them. So we've been fooling around with old Linksys routers purchased on eBay and other places. And recently, the same group has done some upgrade using Ubiquity Wi-Fi equipment, and they've got replacement software for that. So several of us in the area, Gordon and I, and a few of the other people that Gordon mentioned, are operating as beta testers. So we've purchased some of this Ubiquity equipment. By the way, Gordon, I've got my batch of stuff in now, including the high gain dish and a couple of other M2 units, and so we're starting to fool around with seeing how we can get much longer distances on Wi-Fi. The whole purpose of which is, in a nutshell, if there were an emergency, we should be able to deploy an ad hoc self-defining Wi-Fi mesh that looks for and connects itself to other nodes in the mesh and be able to use this for emergency communication. We should be able to show video, voice over IP, telephony calls, file transfers, text, and all sorts of other emergency communication, including access to an internet through a gateway at a node where there, say, was still power in the area and an internet connection live. So some very, very interesting capability that's being developed at relatively low expense, and we're really excited about participating in this. Back to Ned.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things come to mind. By the way, the devil's just shut out
the Dallas Stars 1-0. Corey Schneider was in the net. And I think Matthew Ryder got the goal. So, all good. Just thought everybody like to know. They also killed a 4-minute double minor. A bloody high stick that caused that, but they shook that one off. So good for them. They need that. They needed that kind of win. Alrighty, moving right along. So Randy, the what's really nice about the Ubiquiti gear is a couple of things. One is more memory, and also a more powerful CPU. More modern Wi-Fi transceivers and a variety of physical platforms that have a variety of antennas and many of them are the same CPU platforms. So you have things like small hotspots, kind of accesses so with 60, 120, and 180 degree, 60, 90, and 120 degree beam widths. You have a couple of different grid dishes. You have a couple of different Omni sticks. You have a couple of different couple of different solid parabolas as well. And all of these are pretty weatherproof, so by the time you get said and done with mounting a lot of this stuff, you can power a lot of this stuff by just running a Cat5 wire that already has embedded in it the power. So what's really lovely is the spare leads in a RJ45 connector that aren't Ethernet are also rendering power to the device, and you can plug it in on an AC basis or plug it into a DC source as well. The only gotcha on these devices is that they are 24-volt devices by and large, some exceptions. But we're testing the various pieces of software, and as a beta test team, we were actually handed a test plan, and they were rather impressed with this group's, knowledge, expertise. The beta test team right now can sit here. There's like six of them around the country, actually around the globe. Consists of Randy W2S, Gary KD2DDK, Carl W2KBF, and Rick W2LCN, and myself. I'm the point contact for that team, and we are rocking and rolling on it as best we can. We've had a little bit of a time setback this week due to my family commitments, but we'll get on track probably sooner than later. If anyone else wishes to participate and have access to that Ubiquiti gear, let me know. We'll be happy to include you, but we'll be doing this in-phase testing over the next week in particular. After that, we'll be doing continuing testing as new releases come out. Any questions?
To EIR.
Go ahead, Mr. Howie.
Any chance we'll have a node at Alpine? I'm just thinking what that would mean in terms of, say, my location to your location, bouncing across the river, even though I can hear you direct, but I'm just thinking, W2S is mentioning of emergency communications, power outages. You might have power on one side of the river, not on the other, and I'm just thinking how good it would be if we, had something in place.
Yeah, one of the things that we're planning to do is, and we've been delayed because of odd conflicts and weather and the incredible disappearing antenna mount at one of our locations. We have a high-profile location in Bergenfield that should see the Alpine area near where this repeater is located. And on a Saturday, most likely, we plan to go up there to Alpine after deploying the node here in Bergenfield
and running some tests. We also want to run some tests from other hills in the area at the same time. So we're going to be working on that shortly, because yes, a node at that location would be ridiculous. The other thing that's being anticipated, so much like the D-Star and the Echolink, is to have a tunnel connection through the public internet, and that may be another way to tie together disconnected clusters of nodes and allow meshing. One thing that also is going on, let me drop it, is one of my, some of you guys have seen the node I have or heard about it, but this is what Gary lovingly refers to as the super node, which is a 2-watt node with a camera on it, and a, they've got a camera, it's got a 2-watt amplifier, a single port on the Linksys box. I had another router which provided the cell data card gateway, and a Wi-Fi Yagi and a cell data antenna. That's being, oh, it also had a Raspberry Pi built into it as a small server for Internet Relay Chat or IRC. All of that was built into that one box, and very effectively it worked great. But we've decided to take the opportunity to move the router, the internet gateway router, and another, and take that out of that box, leaving behind a 2-watt single port mesh router with a Yagi and the camera. We will probably add a Raspberry Pi in there as a video server. But beyond that, we'll be splitting that node up a little bit. But that'll allow a more portable deployment of a cell data card gateway. So if, for instance, I roll up on a scene or at an event where we're all there, we'll be able to create mesh nodes and actually get internet access through my cell data card located in my vehicle. So that's the longer term plan. Does that answer the basics of your question?
Yeah. no further comment. K2EIR.
Okay, was there somebody else? Okay, was there somebody else? There was a carrier underneath, Howie. Okay, so, Randy, do you have anything more?
I guess the only thing to add is, just so you're up to date, I've got a couple of M2 nodes now, I've got a logo node, and then I've got that high gain, the dish antenna. So I've got 4 nodes, I'm just waiting for the firmware to flash. I'm real anxious to get started with this. I'm going to be running a few more tests with the Linksys boxes, to sort of practice the protocol for the tests, and I'm working on some additional screening for running the attenuation tests where I can kind of like clobber one link and see how that works out. But I'm real anxious to get started with the group on this. I think this is going to prove to be a whole really interesting and quickly developing area of amateur radio that I think a lot of people are going to want to get on board with as we start proving this out. So this is WU2S back to K2BAR. Thank you.
I think you're absolutely right. Good points all around. Okay. Anybody else have any questions or comments? Brady, well, that's pretty good, Randy, and I think you're absolutely right about the potential growth area for this. This is going to be pretty pretty crazy neat, really fast. Alrighty, let's see, who would be next? I think we have, let's see, DK, it's okay. Just going through my little list here. Yep, Howie, it is your ball game. Let's hear about your hands-free operation. I just want to add one thing to it, and that is that I have some 315 megahertz clickers, little HeFob remotes that apparently are fast enough to if you wired up to a Morse code key, would work great to send Morse code wirelessly. And I was thinking they'd make great use for PTTs as well, and you can buy them for about 15 or 20 bucks on the internet. You put 12 volts in, and you, then they give you a dry contact closure to mess with. So that might be something else to consider to augment your PTT without even having to wire that either. So further extension to your wonderful little audio hands-free system. So why don't you describe that, K2EIR, K2BAR.
Roger, here's K2EIR. Well, let me put a little frame of reference about this. I used to commute from Tarrytown to Stamford, Connecticut. A lot of my driving was on the Merritt Parkway, which is a very curvy road, and it was in rush hour, so everyone goes faster than I like to go. And yet I preferred to talk to my brother, who used to commute from Middletown, New York, down to northern New Jersey. And so I'd have at least a 15-minute conversation with him every morning. But I started feeling very uneasy trying to hold the steering wheel and the microphone. I promised myself I'd do something about that if I could. And eventually I stopped working in Stamford and stopped working altogether. And so I seized the moment to build a construction project. And as W2S just said, it's nice to easy to build a lot of things if you've got a circuit board from Forest Circuits. And there was a QST article, I think, in December 2000 on a noise-canceling audio amplifier. And it was meant to be used at the base station, but I saw no reason why it couldn't be used elsewhere. It has two channels, like sort of like stereo, that are combined 180 degrees out of phase. And it has two stages of amplification in each channel, and they use the 2N2222. And that's the amplifier I use. I found it didn't have enough gain, so I added a preamp, an op-amp, that I saw as a mic preamp item in many handbooks that were out for a few years. I can't tell you which handbooks are still in there or not, because I don't get one every year, but that's where I found the circuit. Regrettably, because of adding that preamp, and my setup is still a prototype from 13 or 14 years ago, I didn't hook up the second microphone in the second channel, so my setup is not noise canceling, but it could be. Okay, let me let this reset. Okay, so again, I wanted to operate hands-free because driving at 60 miles an hour with one hand does not make me feel good, and I will add as a benefit for motivation for anybody that it's nice to be able to park your car, parallel park or whatever, and still keep up the conversation because both hands are on the wheel. My setup is not Bluetooth, it's not wireless, but there are, if you're interested in one prime, the microphone folks that you see accessories for in Ham Radio Outlets catalog for one, does make a line of Bluetooth hands-free setups for various amateur radio rigs. They're specific to the rig, and that setup costs about $200. I built mine into an aluminum mini box. The far circuit board was about $6. The parts for it were probably another $6. So the microphone I use is from all electronics. It was a surplus cell phone industry electric for $1.95, and I bought a few of them. And I had to tailor the capacitors and the amplifier for the for good frequency response, and a lot of people really like my audio because it has a lot of bass. This is not the rig. Okay, now let me get to the heart of the matter. Let me let this reset. I found that why most people haven't done this is they're sort of appliance operators. They're sort of afraid of their rigs. When microphone plugs became RJ45s, people sort of scratched their heads and said, I don't know what to do with this. Whereas if it was a simple phone plug, almost any ham would have been willing to go in. I think we've had enough of these freaks around long enough that maybe that isn't the case anymore. But what I do with my little aluminum mini box, besides having the amplifier, is I have what they call two RJ45 jacks. Sometimes they're called Keystone jacks. And the wires are jumpered from one jack to the other on a one-to-one basis so that, you know, pin one on the first jack goes to pin one on the second. Except that by taking the rigs diagram, I found the audio line, and I can interrupt that, and I have a toggle switch on the mini box to do so that allows me to switch between the hand mic and my little electric mic, which is mounted with Velcro on the visor of my car. Now, by the way, you can see pictures of this on my QRZ site. Everybody has a QRZ listing, so I put up my pictures there, and you can find it below my antenna pictures. So the microphone's on the visor. Push to talk. There's a toggle switch on the dashboard just inches from the steering wheel. Very easy to make a quick movement from the steering wheel to the toggle switch. And there is a treadle switch on the footrest, which my left foot is able to press for more momentary contacts. Now, there are some flaws in my actual setup, but I won't get into them now. So the heart of doing a hands-free setup is to know the pinout of your rig and interrupt the push-to-talk line and the audio line. And you might need additional switches in the mini box to flip that. And I use a 9-volt battery inside the mini box for powering the amplifiers. Let's see if I can think of anything more germane for this. I'm just surprised more people haven't done something like this. Well, I'll leave it at that, and again, the question I got over the air from a fellow recently was, can this be done for any rig? And my answer is probably yes. One caution, let me let this reset. The caution is that push-to-talk lines aren't always something that you just ground. Sometimes they have to, they're usually keyed by transistor circuits in the microphone, and sometimes you have to have a resistor in between, and I recommend if you can't find any literature from the manufacturer that you start with a 10K resistor, go down to 1K, go down to 100 ohms, go down to 10 ohms as a protection. I will also tell you that I lost one microphone for the rig, an $80 microphone, from static electricity discharge. In the winter now, any connecting, plugging, or unplugging of microphones into your rig can cause a static charge, and it isn't that the circuit is defective, it's that, you know, you're causing static electricity to run along lines that shouldn't have that. Also, for my electret, I pull off, there's something like 8 volts on my rig circuit, and I pull that voltage off for the electret. It's lower than the tolerance. Okay, so I'm going to turn it back to Gordon, and I will entertain questions. W2TTT from K2EIR.
That's great, Harry. That's absolutely wonderful. And you could make it wireless with relatively simple additional steps. That's pretty good. I think you've got a hell of a system there. And, you know, well on the way. I think all the same principles of your design could be applied in a wireless mode. you might want to give that some thought, too. I thought I saw something in a recent QST article about that, too, that someone had done that, but neither here nor there, or neither here nor there, I should say. But very good. That's wonderful. Anybody have any questions for Howie? Sounds like a thorough coverage of the topic, Mr. Howie. Very nice. Very, very nice. Alrighty. Anything else you want to add?
Yeah, there is a, there was a published Bluetooth design in QST. It did not address the push-to-talk, as I think, and your suggestion, you know, of the 315 megahertz clickers, you know, meant for cars, would work there. And even with that circuit, if you wanted to build it, that probably would cost you $60 or $75, depending on whether you've got a Bluetooth headset to work with it, which could cost another $100 and a quarter. You still have to interface with the rig someplace. So again, the key thing, which seems like very few people realize, is they could take two RJ45 jacks and just wire them one-to-one internally and just interrupt the lines they need. Again, audio and push-to-talk. Back to you, K2EIR.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Very nice. It really is a sweet, sweet system you've got figured out there, and God bless you, Howie, for doing so. You guys might hear me rattling in the background. I'm working on that repackaging of the boards. In fact, I made a decision tonight. Well, I'll see you in a minute. Anyway, what I want to do is ultimately be able to use a computer to control my radio and do it over the internet, even if my vehicle is somewhere else. Control the vehicle radio over a mesh network or over the internet or both.
Sounds interesting. Should be doable. Have you thought it out any a little bit further? Any generality of approach?
I'm actually looking at the idea of embedding into my box here. This kind of goes back to Gary's ever-present fear of my creating a supernode. But I'm actually thinking of embedding a PC, you know, an Atom PC into this box and go from there. We'll have to see. But if I did that, then I could just, you know, remote log into that PC and drive that PC remotely, whether it's across the mesh or across the internet.
Okay, well, you know, people already operate rigs, you know, remotely and through the internet. So, if you create something like the internet through your mesh, you could do it.
Right. I was thinking of using VNC, secure version of VNC, to do that, or one of the other remote desktop programs. That's kind of where I was going with that. And it's a matter of porting the audio and let the PC do the work, you know?
Yeah, well, porting the audio is another another challenge, but yeah, it should be achievable.
Right now, what I decided to do, and I started to say this before, is I had a choice between a WR2T54G, GS, or GL router, and I decided to use the GL, because unlike the other two, which have, I mean, they all have the same external interfaces, but the GL board is L-shaped inside the box. There's this big hole in the box where that would be. And I said, well, gee, that would leave me enough of a footprint room to drop a, an Atom board inside the box. without any trouble. This is just over 6 inches square. So that would be entirely doable. So that's kind of where I'm going with that.